5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening, and it is Thursday, 9:30 Central Time, and it's the new Panic Room. Unless you've sort of, I suppose you'd know that, really, unless you've sort of tuned in by mistake, expecting, I don't know, some Christian rock or something. And hey, that must be a great thing to listen to. Or not. I don't know. Never done that myself because, hey, I got a life. So it is, yes, it is Thursday. It is episode 122. And we missed her last week. She wasn't well. God bless her. God bless her. And it's our house has turned to be unwell this week. I've got two sick kids. And me, I feel a bit ropey, I have to say, but I'm battling on for the sake of the kiddies. But it's just not, I'm just going to paint a big black cross on the door and have done with it, I think, and just shut up shop till everyone's either dead or better, one of the two. But anyway, we did miss her last week, so I think it's full fanfare time.
But, you know, you said you weren't well. Did you say ropey or ropey? Like, what does that even mean?
No, ropey. Ropey. It means
ropey.
Not feeling awfully well. No, the youngest got this sort of, you know, the sniffles and the throat. And then I felt rough the past couple of days. And then my eldest, because I never know if he's swinging the lead or not. Because he'll actually text from school and say, can you come pick me up because I'm bored? Which is usually
a
resounding no. And usually when he says, you know, I'm not well, I say, I go see the nurse, and that usually puts him off because he's, I could tell the past couple of days he's not been right, and he sort of dragged his ass off today because he had a test. So I went and picked up at lunch, and he spent the afternoon sleeping. Muggins that I have said, have we got any ice cream? Because my throat really hurt. So Muggins here got off my deathbed to go get ice cream for them both, you know. But we are a family of sick people at the moment. So I missed you. We missed you last week. Isabel, a big thank you to Isabel if she's listening. She was an absolute trooper. God bless her. She'd probably never come on the show again, but she did incredibly well.
No.
Bless her.
I have to listen to that show. I can't believe I missed it, and I hated to, because we had Isabel on before, and I thought she was great.
She was brilliant,
but you know.
That would have been just the same as obviously you're drunk every week, but
she did well.
Yeah. She did more than just, because it was just her as well, so she did the whole hour and a half. Thank you to Isabel for being a good sport. But it's good to have you back. But it's been a week. It's been a week on both sides of the Atlantic. A little bit of politics here, ladies and gentlemen. Obviously, in England, the whole Brexit thing has just turned to shit. Literally turned to the Prime Minister was going to put it to the vote in the House of Commons. She had to pull the vote because it looked like she was going to lose. She doesn't have the support of her party. They're calling for a resignation. She's literally gone round Europe cap in hand to try and get the other Europe leaders to help her manipulate it to get it through her own government. And they're all saying, no. And then over here, and I can't resist.
grab him by the pussy.
You know what uranium is, right? It's a thing called nuclear weapons and other things, like lots of things are done with uranium, including some bad things. So speaking of Donald Trump, thank you, Donald. Thoughts and prayers. Donald Trump's personal attorney before Rudy Giuliano, Michael Cohen, who was sentenced to 3 years imprisonment for paying off Stormy Daniels to one and some other random bint that Trump fucked on the lead up to the election. And how is this happening? I mean, that is, A, it's illegal. It's an illegal use of campaign funding. It is illegal to pay people off to manipulate the outcome of an election. How is Trump clinging on? I mean, you know, we've got the Mueller inquiries going on. Surely at some point they're going to lead him out of the White. They're going to lead him out of the Oval Office in handcuffs, and not in a good way. Not going to do a wee wee in a hotel bedroom sort of way. In a going to jail sort of way. How is he clinging on?
Yeah.
How is that happening?
Well, because everybody is just, we're all watching in just like this dumbfounded, I can't believe this is actually happening. I can't believe this is real. It's not TV or anything. And I guess I wonder if maybe they do think this is all, you know, that can't be real. You know, that's how I view
Trump
it. I'm like, this is just crazy.
I mean, he's like Snooki or the Kendall Jenner or Kim Kardashian. He's a reality TV personality, and I use the word personality incredibly, incredibly loosely there. But he's just a personality of sort of, you know, a 5-year-old stoat, I like to think. It's like a very, very bad. It's like one of these. This is something that you Americans do incredibly well. You take a good idea for a TV show and then just do it and do it and do it and over and over.
It's death.
And
yes,
this is what is happening.
Yes.
If this was a TV series, I'd have probably tuned out maybe a year ago, because like, this is just like, it's beyond the bounds of, you know, reality now. It's just so ludicrous. But it's not. This is real. This is how there's something. How many of his cronies have gone to jail now, and now he's personal lawyer.
Like,
I mean, for goodness,
I
because
kind of
Trump's
like
trying
being
to distance himself, he's saying, "Well, I never told him to do that." Seriously, you're talking about throwing him under the bus.
But I'm also wondering if we're not just getting desensitized to it. Maybe that's the plan or something. We definitely are. Just like with scary movies, with horror movies or something, they weren't so gruesome and they weren't so bloody back in the day, but now they are, and we're just desensitized to it.
You could be right. I mean, there's so much happened. It's almost like a byline, you know. It doesn't even, it's like, you know, buried on the 11th page 11 of the paper. His personal attorney, the guy who managed all his legal stuff for years, has gone to prison for paying off people illegally that Donald Trump slept with. And it's not the fact that he slept with them, although he slept with Stormy Daniels when his wife was having his son, which, to be fair, everything else aside, is a scummy thing to do, to be honest with you. And that is a mark of the man. But hey, everybody said, oh, that's not breaking the law. No, Trump supporters, it's not breaking the law. Paying them off to influence the election, that's breaking the law, you assholes.
Yeah.
So all these, everybody, anybody out there who voted for Donald Trump, in fact, here we go. Here we go. Everybody who voted for Donald Trump, this is for you.
You're a cock, you're a cock, you're a cock. You're a cock.
There you go. I couldn't think of a better way to put it, and there you go. So,
that's good. Is that
so enough political comment. And, you know, I miss having my political rant every week.
I can't find out what's going on. I don't know. I seriously do not watch the news, especially political things. So you are how I get my information.
I take an interest in what's going on, unlike you, but there you go.
Well, you know, not anymore. It's horrible. Yeah,
you know,
not anymore. I think used to, but no.
I know many years ago, there was a girlfriend of mine, and it was a short-lived relationship, I have to say. You know, because I used to get the Sunday paper every Sunday for a little. And because I like to be informed, and I don't know what you're reading that for. It's boring. So, okay, you know, you may have enormous breasts, but I'm sorry, you're gonna have to go.
Wow.
You know, so you know, I like you know, a lady with enormous breasts, but who is also well informed. So you know, that's a little bit of insight about me. But hey, do tell, Christina. What? You see, I missed it. I had to wing it last week because I had no idea. You weren't there to ask what was going on. So I don't know. Luckily, we only had the one guest, so I could keep on top of that one. Who? What is going?
Right.
I'm sure we have a show. What is going on this evening?
We do have a show, and I'm excited. Our first guest we have is a USA Today bestselling author, Lex Martin. Ooh, I'm really excited to speak with her.
Me too.
And then
me
we
too.
Have four. Yeah, we. Then we have horror author Derek. I'm gonna butcher this name. I'm glad you butchered it, not me. So
we've probably murdered his name, but I'm sure he will correct us when he comes along. So I think we should we or shall we? I think we have Lex wait in the green room. Obviously it's a virtual green room. It may not be green. I don't. We should ask her. Let's bring her on and we'll ask what colour room.
Hi.
Hello,
guys.
Lex. Hello. So what colour is your room? What the room that you're in now? What colour is it?
It's just off white. Nothing exciting.
Taupe.
We'll see. It's teal and rainbow.
It's kind of greenish. It's kind of a green room. But thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It's a delight. It is a delight, I have to say.
Yeah,
it's always a delight when the guests turn up. I mean, that's the first delight.
I'm glad to be with you guys.
How are you? You're well this evening? You're here to talk to us about your book, Reckless.
I am. I am not ropey today, so...
Oh, yeah!
I'm sorry, your kids have the plague. I hope they feel better.
That makes one of us. It's not often they're sick, and you know, they're the sort of kids that they'll be, you know, sick for like 2 days tops, and then they're all well again. While I drag it out for a month at least. So.
Oh, wow. Yikes.
But so Reckless. Tell us a little bit more about it, Lex.
Reckless. Reckless is set in Texas. It features a single dad, a Texas rancher, who's going through an ugly divorce. And he has to hire a nanny who he does not want to hire for a number of reasons, but he can't handle the ranch on his own. And Tori is his feisty younger nanny who needs a job to be close to her pregnant sister. Mm-hmm. And so she takes this job and... you know, they don't get along at first, but he needs her, and she's got what, you know, will help him out. Okay. So, in more ways than one.
Awesome.
So,
right?
we're starting to sound steamy.
It's steamy, but there's a lot of story.
We like a bit of steam on this show. We have our Extina Moistometer.
Wow. Is that what we're calling it now?
Moistometer?
It is the Extina Moistometer of steaminess. So maybe when
wow,
we...
Wow, that sounds
the,
like a condition.
It could well be. When we've heard the clip, we will have to get Xena to mark it on the moistometer.
Well, it's not a super steamy, you know, selection. I thought I'd... start out for a general audience who might not want cocks thrown at them first thing, so.
Well, you know, our audience, you never know.
We are not adverse.
But, you know, you had that soundbite earlier, so I couldn't resist, you know, throwing
well,
it down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, exactly. We are not adverse to having, you know, cocks, you know, rammed down our throat, as it were, you know. So, you know, we're all friends together here in many ways.
We are.
Awesome.
We are. Yeah.
Mm. Great.
We did have a show. What was that? P was on the show, Patricia Mattern. And I don't know, somebody got talking about like a group orgasm, and I just remember thinking,
oh,
wow,
it got very out of hand, that one. I was blushing over here. It was
really.
Mm. Yeah, really. So are you based in Texas, or you just set it in Texas?
I'm from Texas. I grew up in Texas, but right now I'm living in Los Angeles. So,
fantastic. Whereabouts in Texas?
I'm from San Antonio.
Oh, yay. Just down the road from me. I mean, you know, obviously
right,
here,
exactly.
here in England, just down the road is like, you know, 20 minutes here. It's 3 hours, you know, but I like San Antonio.
Oh, great. Yeah, it's a beautiful city. And honestly, I was feeling a little homesick when I wrote it. So I wanted a reason to write a book or a series that takes place in Texas, so this gave me a good excuse.
A lot of my stuff takes place in Texas because.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I grew up in a tiny little town called Navasota. It was close to Lake Bryan and College Station.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that's where I grew up. Yeah.
Yeehaw, girl.
But I'm a northerner at heart. I'm from like upstate New York, and so I went kind of like back and forth. And I remember when we first moved down to Texas, we were there for, I don't know, about maybe 6 months or so, and we were calling my relative in New York. And they finally told my mom they couldn't understand a word I said because I sounded so southern. And it just reminded me, James, of when you were saying your daughter, you know, had like three syllables to the word hair, you know. Hair.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, my God.
I'm going to go wash my hair. And it took me a while. I mean, she comes out with things. Obviously, she's just so Southern Belle now. So Texas has got the drawl. But we're starting to have communication problems. You know, because she doesn't catch my accent. I don't catch her sometime. And it's like, what? What did you say? I've got to wash my hair. Like, really?
Oh, my God.
You're half Yorkshire, for goodness sake. I mean, in England, hair doesn't. In Yorkshire, hair doesn't even have a H on it, to be honest.
Wow.
But here she managed to. Hair. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're common as muck over there, I'll tell you.
That's great. I wanted to know from you, Lex, when you're not writing, who do you like to read?
Oh, I have so many authors that I love. Last spring I went through all of Ruby Dixon's Blue Aliens, and I read the Black Dagger Brotherhood this summer. I've been on kind of a paranormal trip lately, but everyone from Sierra Simone and, you know, Lauren Rowe, Colleen Hoover. Mm-hmm. I love young adult too, Lainey Taylor, Maggie Stiefvater, Cassandra Clare. I read everything, but mostly romance and a little bit of paranormal, which I've been into recently. And but I love the classics too. You know, Jane Austen, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Shakespeare. I used to teach English, so I should, you know, I probably need to throw in the classics, but I enjoy it personally. I wouldn't have taught it if I didn't, so.
Right. I first heard of your name from, I think it was Becca, Kristen Becca Ritchie. And I have to read her. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of theirs, so I was like, I have to read her now, and so I have, like, several of your books on my Kindle, and I just need to actually find time. You know how that goes.
Oh, that's really sweet. I'm so thrilled.
Yeah.
They helped me get started. I had read a couple of their Addicted books, and in 2013, and I had written my second book, but my first book that I published, Dearest Clementine, and I was gearing up to self-publish it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I knew they were self-published, and so I had questions about formatting and, you know, just some general advice questions. So I hit them up, and they have been the coolest, sweetest authors ever to get to know. And Krista actually designed my first three covers. So she did Dearest Clementine, Finding Dandelion, and Kissing Madeline.
Wow, I didn't know
Yeah,
that.
She did those covers, and Becca helped me so much with formatting, Becca and Krista both. And they're the sweetest things ever. I love them.
Mm-hmm. Me and my best friend, we are buddy reading the Addicted series again. I've probably been through them three times, and
great.
You know, I'm such a fan. And to me, it's so funny because it's not characters in a book anymore. These are real people. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah.
And so did you read the whole series? When you get to Some Kind of Perfect, the last one, I cried literally through the whole thing.
I haven't gotten that far. I read all of the Addicted books. I read the spinoff with the sisters, and then I kind of fell off a little bit. But I think it was Kiss the Sky where I found the narrator from some of my books, Stephen Dexter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he actually narrated Reckless, so you guys will hear what he sounds like. But I caught wind of him from Becca and Krista's series.
Yeah. Speaking of, we have a clip from Reckless. And how about we play it? You can give us a little bit of information if you want, or where it starts.
Sure.
Or, you know, something.
Right. Yeah, you're going to hear the meet cute where the two main characters, Ethan and Tori, meet for the first time, and he's just come in from the barn, and he's all sweaty from getting up way before dawn and working on with the horses and doing a lesson with a client he's not thrilled with, and his kids are running around, and he's just trying to deal with life, and in comes Tori like a whirlwind.
Awesome. Do we have that
good
clip, James?
Okay. We might do. If you ask me nicely, I might play it.
Pretty, pretty, please.
Yes, indeed. Here we go.
Turning, I make my way to the kitchen, my least favorite part of the house. Everything about this room reminds me of my wife. The track lighting and the professional range oven, the dark marble counters and fancy cookware. All shit she wanted but never used or appreciated. At least now I can bathe in the enormous double sink without her bitching about it. Stripping off my sweat-soaked t-shirt, I duck under the cold faucet in the kitchen, get my head and neck wet, and hope to God the sudden change in temperature doesn't make me stroke out. This is when Allison would complain I was raised in a barn, which isn't far from the truth. I'm twisting the faucet when I hear a familiar voice. E? You back here? My brother calls out. Yeah, kitchen. Footsteps sound down the hall as I reach out for a dry dish towel. My eyes are stinging with sweat, so it takes me a few tries to find the right drawer. Finally, I wrap my hands around a towel and bring it to my face just as a throat clears behind me. By the time I dry my face and open my eyes, I come face to face with Logan, who looks like a cat prowling a cage of canaries. Then I see why. He's not alone. Thought I'd bring Kat and her sister so you could chat. He smirks as I take in the two women by his side. Hey, Kat. I motion with my head. Hi, neighbor. She gives me a sweet smile as she rubs her swollen stomach. Then she nudges the woman next to her. This is my younger sister, Tori. That's when I finally get a good look at the sister. Fucking Logan. My eyes dart back to my brother, who's grinning so wide I can count his molars. I glare at him, knowing full well what he's doing right now. My brother is worse than my mother when it comes to matchmaking, because if his expression is any indication, this is about more than finding a babysitter. Some men are all about tits. Others like a girl's ass. Me? I'm a hair man, So it sucked when Allison chopped hers off right after we got married and kept it short. With a resigned sigh, I finally turned my full attention to Tori, whose long, dark mane tumbles over her shoulders like she's some kind of mermaid. Dressed in a white tank top, cutoffs, and some weathered shit kickers, she looks ready to star in a dirty cowboy fantasy. Long legs, curves for miles, so much bare skin. I barely hold in a groan. Big, luminous hazel eyes blink back at me as she unabashedly studies my face, my chest, my tats. I look down, realizing I'm standing here only sporting jeans and dripping water and barn funk all over the kitchen floor. I clear my throat. Ladies, excuse me, was out with the horses this morning. Had I known you were coming by... My brother laughs. The horses are the only ones around here who can tolerate Ethan, since hospitality isn't his strong suit. But he can make a damn fine barbecue. Cat frowns and turns to Logan. I thought you said you scheduled this with him. Yeah, right. I would have told him to do this another day. Logan runs his hands through his hair. I mentioned you might be stopping by. He must have forgotten. Don't be an ass. You know you didn't tell me. I grumble, more and more pissed by the minute to be blindsided. Turning to the women, I sigh. I'm gonna go change. Give me 5 minutes and ignore everything that comes out of his mouth. Seriously, Logan, I have other shit I need to do right now. A potential buyer from Dallas is stopping by tonight, and my to-do list is obscene. This isn't the day I want to interview Ariel the mermaid. And yes, I know every damn Disney character. Next time, warn a guy. Kat's daughter Izzy peeks out from behind her mom's flowing dress and waves. Hi, Mr. Ethan. Shit. I shouldn't be cursing in front of her. Hey, little darling, didn't see you there. She's a couple of years older than my daughter. Izzy giggles and waves some more, and I twiddle my fingers at her like a lame ass. Kat tries to hide her smile, but Tori doesn't look amused. In fact, she looks as pissed off as I feel. Hopefully, this interview will go fast, because clearly this isn't going to work out. And in my experience... There's never a good reason to jam a square peg in a round hole.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
I would say that was definitely, again, I've always said that, you know, you obviously get you know, a less steamy part for the show, but I was definitely definitely a good solid eight out of ten on the Extina moistometer,
moist.
I would say.
Thank you. The level of moisture.
Yeah, it's funny. I like the detail about the Disney character being a dad with, you know, raised my small daughter. Yeah, I know all the Disney characters and all the princesses and all the Pixar and SpongeBob and all the kids' TV, the iCarly, everything from Sesame Street up to and onwards. I mean, it's funny, I've said this before, you know, I will, even now, I'll be sat and watching SpongeBob and realize that, you know, the kids are not even in the room. But it's a new SpongeBob, and I get excited when a new SpongeBob comes on. So this is what parenthood does to people, to grown people. You know,
I used to be like that.
Uh-huh.
No, it used to do that to me, too. I remember, what was that show? Victorious and, like, iCarly.
I
would find
that
myself
show.
Watching
iCarly,
that. Yes.
Salmon Cat, they're all brilliant.
Yes.
I'll tell you something, and a lot of them are so... incredibly well written. A lot of adults in the adult comedy is lazy because they rely on innuendo, they rely on sex references, they rely on, you know, a lot of smut and just cheesy crap. You can't do that with kids' show. They have to be written cleverly to get around that. And you have to write also for the adults as well. And but they are you know from a writer's point of view, you can learn a lot from watching kids shows. I think I can. Anyway. But just on a technical level, they're incredibly well done. I mean, some of the Pixar movies, I defy you to tell me, you know, pick a Pixar movie and tell me any grown up movie that's better than that, because I don't think you could.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the Disney, but like I don't like the little kid Disney movies. Like I like Hercules. I loved Hercules, and I can sing like every song in the movie. And yeah. Mulan was great. So you know, but they have
I have not seen that one.
The really little. What?
Yeah.
What? That was a great
seen,
one.
No,
That's
I haven't
so
seen that one. I think I've seen every one bar that one. And I must have missed that. I must have been between kids, you know.
Definitely. And I have to say, you know, you told me you were not going to talk to me until I watched Jaws. And there you go. I'm not going to talk to you again until you watch Mulan.
I promise.
Please
watch
it quickly. I would miss you. Yeah.
I will watch it.
Oh, speaking of, let's see, I finished The Haunting of Hill House, finally. I finished that. Well, it's a couple of weeks ago now, but I loved it. Yeah.
Did you see that, Lex?
No, I haven't seen that. What? I just got done with the season of Poldark, with season four of Poldark. It was awesome.
Is this the new series? Because Poldark was very
big in the 70s.
When I was an ankle biter. And it's a sort of a body stripper, isn't it? There's lots of shirtless young men and whatnot.
Wow, I should watch this. Yeah,
it's great. Although there's cheating. It's just one. I'll warn you.
Oh, well,
there's cheese.
Spoiler alert.
It's something we Brits do well. Obviously, is historical period dramas. Obviously, there's Downton Abbey, and there's got the whole thing about Victoria, and you know we do costume dramas incredibly well because we have history here. You know, anything that's 10 years old is history here. But obviously, in England, we have proper history. It was funny actually. Yeah. Not long after I moved here, we went to it may well have been San Antonio actually, and you know we're doing all the historical tours, and this building was built back then. The house I used to own in England was older than a lot of the historical monuments here. Seriously, I mean,
wow!
That's not really old, to be honest, is it? You know, but there you go.
Now you mentioned, Lex, that the show had cheating, right? You said cheating.
Yeah.
What is your take on that in like books? Because I know people go, you they have the people
I, my
who think
books
it's,
don't
it's kind of
my
hot.
Books don't.
Yeah.
My books don't have cheating. I mean, there might be the temptation of it, but generally speaking, I have a hard time writing that. I barely read it myself, you know, because those are the books that I always want to toss against my wall when I get to that part.
Right.
But, once in a while I'm in the mood for it. If, you know, a really angsty story like that, but I have to be ready for it mentally. So I don't know that I could write that, you know. Kudos to those who do it well, but I'm not sure that's what I could do. You know, I could write that.
Right. And, you know, in the romance genre, I think that they always go in waves where, do you remember there was like a ton of the stepbrother books, and then there was a ton of the, I don't even know that all the different ones that came out.
Yeah.
But, you know, it seems like once somebody writes one that, you know, is a hit, everybody has to write one too.
And
I did not get the whole, stepbrother thing. I didn't because I don't have any siblings at all, but I just thought, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't get that one at all, but, you know, they have some really cool ones. Now, I do like some of the taboo ones. Have you ever read The Wild by Kay Webster?
No, I haven't. I've heard great things about it, though.
Okay, see, I was going to say, I'm not sure if I should recommend it or not. I loved it. I seriously did. And, you know, please don't anybody call in and you know, with hate mail or anything for me.
I bought a copy in solidarity when I heard the trouble that she was having. So But, you know what, I think I also read a spoiler or two along the way. I hate that.
Right.
But,
I know.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
I had never read her before, but because of the blow up, I was like, I have to read this book. And I had no idea what it was going to be about. I mean, you kind of get what the whole oh my god is right away. You kind of know, because it's like there's nothing else going on. It has to, so you're like, oh gosh, how is she going to pull this off? How is this going to be okay in any way? I thought it was beautifully written. I thought it was a great book, and you know, I did. I have the ebook, and then I even went out and bought the paperback on her website. And now I have a little fridge magnet, and it's on the fridge, and it says, "I read banned books." Oh, that's really cool.
Awesome.
But yeah. So I was wondering, like, do you like the darker romance or the taboo or anything?
A little. I mean, I haven't read a whole bunch of that. I'm generally stuck with romantic comedy. I mean, yes, I've read, you know, BDSM books and menage books. And right now I'm reading this really interesting, it's like a reverse harem, I guess, but it's a vampire series. I have to look up the name because it's,
it sounds interesting.
I read so much, all the names kind of blur together, but Queen Takes King, Jolie Sue Burkhart. It's a really great paranormal series, vampire series. But that's probably as dark as I get, you know, vampires and shifters and things like that. Some BDSM, but not like the super, super dark stuff.
I
read mostly to escape. I want the love story and the hot sex, you know.
I don't want a whole lot
of emotional turmoil when I read.
Right. Definitely.
I don't like sobbing
Oh my god, I know. And I have to say, you know, we were talking earlier about Kristen Becker Ritchie's The Addicted series, and by that last book, I seriously cried through the whole thing. And it was not like it was sad, but I mean, of course there were sad parts. But for me, it was knowing that this was the last one.
Yeah.
And so every single thing, like the last time they were eating dinner at Lucky's, I cried. I mean, it was just so stupid. I was like, I know. I was like, this is
I'm going to tell them. I'm sure they want to know. That's so
right. For
I'm
me,
sure
it was like,
really
you know.
Moved. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was great. And I'm trying to get them on the show, by the way. So, you know, you can put in a good word for us.
I will.
I just adore them. Have you read any of the newer series by them with Damage Like Us?
I've purchased, I think, one or two of them, but I wanted to catch up on the older series and finish that first obviously you're going to get all the spoilers. So I'm behind on my reading a little bit, but I've heard great things about it. They're so talented.
Yeah,
they write fabulous
they
books.
Are. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely. Yeah, but I'm behind too. God, where do you, you know, I can't even find the time to, you know, do stupid things like, you know, I can't even catch up on TV, you know, so, but by the time I get in bed at night, that's it. There's no reading. I'm just tired. And
I have to binge. I can't tune in to a show once a week. I'll forget everything that happened the previous week. So, you know, Game of Thrones, and I used to watch Walking Dead, but that jumped the shark pretty few years ago, I thought. And just got
when
really
did you
repetitive.
Stop watching? I stopped watching as well. I stopped watching
when
Glenn. I loved Glenn. And it was just gruesome to me.
Yeah.
It wasn't the fact that they killed him, but it was the way. I was grossed out. I was like, that's gruesome. I can't watch it. Which is weird because I love horror, so it didn't make any sense. But
I watched until that town that they had got overrun with, you know, Glenn was still alive, though. And
spoiler, he dies.
Yeah. And so it just... It's just the same. I didn't feel like they went anywhere with that story.
Yeah.
And I liked all the characters a lot, and I didn't want to see any of them die, so I just started to tune out. And fell in love with Poldark, so that was something I binged. I binged the first season or two of Riverdale. That's pretty good. But not otherwise not a whole lot of TV. I tend to watch TV when, or binge a show when I'm writing heavily, so that it doesn't,
you're not
my
writing.
Story
yeah.
doesn't get messed
yeah.
up in my head as I'm reading a book.
Definitely.
So
yeah.
I, or, you know, like in between parts where I can kind of breathe a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hate to say that we're pretty much out of time for our first
okay.
segment. Can you tell us where we can find you online?
Yeah, Amazon, iBooks, Google Play, Kobo, Barnes & Noble, paperbacks on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Yeah, available everywhere.
Awesome. I'm going to get your links put up on our Facebook
Thank
page
you.
If anybody
Thanks
wants
for having
to talk
me, guys.
To you, can go. Definitely, you
well,
have to promise
you.
To come back. And yeah, we'll have you on for the entire show because this went way too quickly. So you have to promise to come back.
I would love to. It'd be my pleasure.
Yay.
Thank you, guys.
And we're going to demand a steamy bit as well.
I will give you a
steamier
I'll give you a steamier excerpt now that I know you can handle the heat.
Yo, we can take it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank
I'll
you,
talk you soon.
Thank you so
Take
much
care.
For joining us, Lex. It's been a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
And you.
Okay,
bye-bye. And we will be right back after the break.
Room Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media, our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Hold me, hold me, hold me.
Back again, and do you know, it went so quickly, didn't it? It went so
quickly. It did. And I have to say, I love that song. So I was singing. I was singing along, and after. Okay. After the first like verse, I was hoping that I was muted because I was like singing and dancing, and I know I was like, shit, I hope I'm muted. So. Please tell me I was muted.
Say you were muted, don't you, Ria? I say time flies quickly for you because you're drunk most of the time. But
for
the sober ones amongst us,
not so much.
I think that's the thing. I do need to drink more. I think I need to. That could be my New Year's resolution: is to drink more, get drunk more often. Especially during the shows.
I don't know how that would work out because I was thinking, if you drink more, I drink less. I just think something would be way off. I don't think we should try that. I don't.
We
can't do
the
both of us
would
drunk.
Be off.
Yeah.
I do that.
We
that
definitely
might,
can't
that might
do
be
both
fun,
of us.
Actually. That might be fun.
maybe. We'll have to see. No Monster and drinking for you, though. That's true.
Now, that would be a combination, wouldn't it?
yeah, right.
That would be scary. But I'll tell you something we've not done for a while, actually. I'm going to put us on the spot now. Here we go.
Oh, hey.
Oh, gosh.
Looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
So what have we got to review? I don't know. I mean, like you say, it's funny. I was just saying to Lex there, I'm like, I don't get time to read, for pleasure. I haven't read anything, record. Not that I don't enjoy reading a lot of the subs we're getting and that, but just to pick up a book and, I started on The Fireman by Joe Hill. I've read about two chapters and then time has just got away from me, It is difficult. Watch a bit of tennis. So you finished Hill House. I mean, what did you think to that? I mean, you enjoyed it?
I loved it so much. I really did. Mm-hmm. And there were so many parts that scared me, creeped me out. I jumped. I screamed. The one scene is spoiler alert. So anybody, don't listen. The one scene where the two sisters are in the car, they're driving, and the mm-hmm. dead one, pops up at that. Scared the crap out of me I just didn't expect it. Normally in a scary movie you have the scary music and there's just mm-hmm. Something's about to happen. That no idea at all, just came out of the blue and just scared the crap out of me.
It's classic jump scares, but people groan about people they rely on jump. I think if a movie relies too much on jump scares, but they were so well placed. Incredible. Like you say, it was very well done. The acting was superb. The writing was.
What did you think of the ending? What did you think about the ending? I know that the first
a little bit twee for me. But I'm used to you've read my stuff. I very rarely have.
Yeah.
Anything. But I think, because, again, bearing in mind, it was written, X number of years ago. I think it worked. I think if they stuck that ending on a modern horror film, it wouldn't work. But on that, it worked just right.
Yeah.
It did work well. Yeah.
I loved it, I have to say. I've watched it twice now because I watched it once. And then I watched it with my son again over. But the first half of it, I was thinking, this is going to – I'm not going to enjoy this. I'm not going to think they, did it justice or anything. But by the end, I this is weird. I tear up. Is that weird? I tear up because, I don't know, maybe it is a kind of a happy you know, ending or something,
yeah.
or a positive. Yeah, I liked it. I really did. I thought they did a great job.
Yeah. And by absolute contrast, I watched The Autopsy of Jane Doe with my daughter. As I said, because she loves a horror film. You've really got to see this. It was funny, the big thing she took away from the movie was, you saw her boobies. So I was like, great, you know. But no, she absolutely thoroughly enjoyed it, because it's not particularly gory per se. I mean, you know, for what it is. And yes, there's boobies. But she loved it. I mean, absolutely lived it. And it's a great, great movie.
Another one that I
read a lot of sort of review sites and what have you. It's called Wish Upon. And on first look, you think it's going to be one of these, you know, Blumhouse type things, formulaic and that. And it's basically about a girl who gets an old Chinese wish box and she makes wish. But it is incredibly well done. I would recommend it. I mean, again, I got it because I thought it was, you know, it was reviewed as a good sort of scary movie, PG-13. You know, my little girl's going to love it. And she did. She loved it. But it was very well done, as opposed to Slender Man, excuse me, which was terrible.
See, I wanted to see that. Yeah.
I've now seen it twice because she wanted to see it again. I saw it at the movies, and it was like, what, serious? It's one of those films, it's just getting good, and that's the end, you know. And it was just so...
Oh, no.
What I mean? I wouldn't recommend that.
I remember watching the autopsy. I remember watching the Autopsy of Jane Doe on your recommendation. By myself in the middle of the night, and I also remember being so mad at you because it terrified me. It seriously did. I didn't think I would sleep ever again. It was great. It really was, but it was scary. There were some. Oh my gosh! There was that one scene when they're running for the elevator, and that, you know. Oh, I was scared. Any kind of chasing thing, I'm dead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrified.
But again, I mean the atmosphere that they built up in that movie, because it was very claustrophobic.
That was it. Yeah.
They were underground, they were in the basement, and it was surrounded with dead bodies. And it was just like, you could feel the walls coming in on you. It was so incredibly well done, you know. And that when they, I hope not spoil it for anyone who's not seen it, when they reveal the secret, you know, the body and everything, it's like, wow. Brilliant.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Just phenomenal. But I'd recommend that to anybody. Brilliant film.
I still have to watch the other one that you recommended me, Yellow Brick Road, I think.
Have you not seen that yet?
No, not yet. No, yet.
Seriously? Seriously?
What?
Oh, seriously? My goodness. Have you seen Hereditary?
It's on the list.
I bet you've not seen
it.
I bet you've not seen Hereditary.
No, I haven't.
You've got to see both. Hereditary is excellent. Yellow Brick Road is a great independent movie that will creep. I'm going to have to watch it. I've not seen it for a good few years. That will creep you out. I mean, it's not particularly gory or violent. It will just it will stick in your head probably forever.
Yeah.
It will give you nightmares, that film. I guarantee it.
Thanks.
I guarantee
Thanks.
But hey, we're in the business. You know, I mean, we actually earn a living from our nightmares, which is fantastic.
I remember reading Tenebrian by you, and I don't remember how far I was into it. By you. And that's what I said.
Incredibly well written.
And it was. And I loved the characters. You bring the characters to life so well that I don't know how far along I was into the book before I realized, okay, I'm reading James Longmore, which probably means there is not going to be a happily ever after. And I did not want anything bad to happen in the characters because I liked them. I remember distinctly thinking, you know, what are my odds of having a happily ever after? And they weren't
slim.
Good.
Slim to none.
Yeah,
absolutely
exactly.
Slim to none.
So,
I'd say.
You know, can I put in a request that, you know, for any of your books, you just, like, you know, take a page at the end and be like, and they all woke up from a dream and they lived happily ever after, you know, just for Xtina.
Just called the Extina ending. Yeah, if you are not Extina, do not read this page. If you are, this is for you, sweetheart. You know, this is the night.
Yes.
Yeah, it was all a dream. Everybody's happy. Yes. Happy, happy, happy.
I like that.
I can't think of anything I've written that's had what you would call a happy ending. Maybe it's me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the novel I'm working on at the moment, obviously you're familiar with the short story, kind of has a happy ending.
Wait.
It's kind of a
really?
Happy ending. Yeah, it is. No, it is.
Oh, my God.
It's for me.
No.
I don't know. It depends how you look at it. It's one of those bittersweet moments that it can be a happy ending. It can be. So, you know, that may be. We'll see how that goes.
And just how far are we along with this book? Because I'm actually waiting for this one, really bad, because I love the short. I love the short story. So
I'm trying to, hopefully, I've got a little bit of time out this month between things. I'm hopefully going to work on the second edit this month. So I want it out next year. I want to crack on with it, and obviously you will be one of the first to read because you're editing it. So
yay! I'm excited.
So
I can't
that.
Wait. I really can't. They have great characters in this. The storyline was great.
I think
you'll like
what I've got in store for the characters. It's good. It's a good old thing. Anywho, enough of it. And obviously, you know, anybody interested in Tenebra, it's available from Black Bedsheet Books for, I think, $15, available on Amazon and off the Black Bedsheet website, et cetera, et cetera. So buy the book, people, so I can afford to feed my children.
Buy it.
So buy the book. And speaking of buying books, what have we got coming up next?
See, why did you do that to me? Because you know I'm going to butcher his name. Yeah, we have
Derek.
Horror author
it's Derek.
Derek. Yes,
it's Derek.
Derek.
Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am here. James and Xena,
Derek,
how are
I'm sorry. We're very well, thank you. We've been butchering your name all evening. Could you? How do you pronounce your surname?
The last name is Casignano. You guys weren't that far off.
I was pretty close. Not bad for a foreigner. I think I did okay. Thank you.
I used
so
to try to really
Derek.
Trip him up. Yeah.
Oh, she's booked some absolute doozies that I'm just hopeless with. I'm just
well,
hopeless.
And it backfires now because now we ask me who's on the show and I have to say the name first. And I'm like, damn it. I was trying really hard with that one. So, yeah.
Yeah,
backfired.
Well, that's what you get. That's
okay.
What you get for trying to trip
definitely
me up.
Thanks.
Just honored to be on the show, so I appreciate the invite.
Thank you for joining us. And Derek's here to talk to us about his book, Colony of the Lost. The tagline looks fantastic. Built upon the ruins of a lost colony, Glenwood harbors a long-forgotten secret. And when three strangers discover the truth of the town's dark past, they must battle a terrifying supernatural force to prevent history from repeating itself. It's all there. It's all there in the tagline. So, Derek, tell us a little bit more about it.
Sure. You know, like you said, it's a horror story about an ancient evil that returns to the site of a lost colony. It's sort of my version of what could have happened at Roanoke Island, except this is set in western Massachusetts. It's sort of a little bit reminiscent of kind of Stranger Things and It. That's kind of the comps I get most in some of the Amazon reviews. But, it's kind of like an unlikely trio of people who have to team up. And, you know, whatever it was that wiped out the town 350 years ago has returned.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of opens on, you know, a bunch of children missing. Adults start to go missing, and there's really only three people who know what's happening, because they're visited by the ghost of a Puritan child who was one of the first victims centuries ago. And, so the three main characters are an alcoholic ex-school teacher whose life is sort of falling apart. You know, his fiancée just left him and, you know, thinks he's crazy because of some of the things that he said he saw in the woods. And then there's kind of a sarcastic new kid in town, and then there's a 9-year-old girl with a handful of imaginary friends. So they're kind of brought together to, you know, figure out what to do and try and rescue the town.
I have to say the whole story.
Quite a mix of characters.
Definitely. Mm. In the whole Roanoke Island thing, that I remember back when I was in school, we had to write a story about what we thought happened. And, of course, I did aliens. You know, that was my thing. It was aliens.
Aliens, yeah.
Yep, exactly.
So I've got to ask, Derek, I mean, did you see the American Horror Story take on that? I think it was the season before last. Oh, sorry, the season before last.
I actually did not, but now that you say it, I'll have to check it out.
Don't. It was awful.
Okay.
Wow.
It was probably their worst season.
Wow.
You know, I think they redeemed themselves with the apocalypse, the recent season, but that the Roanoke one was terrible. I've saved you about 6 hours of your life.
Yeah, well, thanks for that.
What was your favorite one, James? Derek as well. I mean, did you watch American Horror Story, Derek?
I've watched all of them. I think I enjoyed Hotel, was good, uh-huh. And Asylum, I think, was probably my best. I think it was the second one, Asylum. I enjoyed that one. Those were my favorite two, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved the first one. I did.
The first one was good,
Yeah. My daughter was totally Asylum. That was her favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm actually in the process. I want to start watching them over again. I started with The Murder House, and because I thought that in the intro, I don't know why, but that first intro for the first season, I actually wanted that for a ringtone. That's the creepiest thing ever. It really is. It's great. Yeah, they changed it, I think, like every year after that.
They did,
which was upsetting.
How about you, Derek? Do you have a favorite?
Well, I actually have not watched American Horror Story. It's a little bit tough in my house. My wife is not big on horror, so that has its own dynamic. But the most we can kind of get together is Stranger Things, which is good.
Mm-hmm. That is good.
But yeah, that's definitely a good one. I do want to start on Castle Rock and The Haunting of Hill House. Those are two on my list. But certainly, I think for movies anyway, recently, It was a pretty good one. That was, fantastically done. The one that was done before that was such a letdown. So it was great to see it, done justice to.
If you like Stranger Things, give there's a great movie just recently come out called Summer of 84. Again, it's that sort of flavor. I would recommend that. I think you can get that on. I think it's on either Netflix or Hulu or some such. You'll be able to find it. But if you like that sort of feel, look and feel to a movie, then that's a good one for you and the missus to.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
To watch together. Yeah, I mean, it's fun. We're big horror fans. Well, me and my daughter, we're both big horror fans. So I get to see. mixed in between the Pixar movie, because equally we're excited for Toy Story 4, but we're also looking forward to the second part, the second movie of It next year. So it's kind of a mixed bag at the moment. In fact, we went. She dragged me to see The Grinch at the weekend. The new one. And it was good. I mean, we've seen the live action one with the Jim Carrey one, which again was very good. And it's pretty much the same. Obviously, it's the same story, but it was good. It was good. Not quite.
Yeah,
it
heard mixed reviews about The Grinch.
It is what it is. It's a great kids. The kiddies like it,
Speaking of Christmassy things, because we're getting close to Christmas, what is what's everybody's favorite Christmas movie?
I'd say, that's a hard one. Elf is a great new one. If you're kind of sticking to the horror genre too, Gremlins, is always a good throwback around Christmas time. And
Okay, I'm gonna be cheesy. I think this is a totally cheesy answer, but I love The Santa Claus with Tim Allen. I did. I thought that was great. And I try to watch it every year.
Yeah.
So, you know.
We always watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, which is just funny, no matter how many times you see it. But last year, I actually saw Elf for the first time last year because the kids wanted to see it. And I watched that. And also made the mistake of watching Krampus because I thought, oh, that's a great Christmas film. Not a Christmas film. I mean, it's a great film, a great horror movie set at Christmas, but it's not really a family, you know, sit around roasting chestnuts on an open fire sort of movie. But very well done, very good film. But I think for me, it's got to be National Lampoon.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
That's a good choice. Yeah, good to get you in the mood. Well, I want to hear more about Colony of the Lost. Do you have a reading for us, Derek?
I do have a reading, but I actually picked a reading that's from my fourth Common book, which is kind of a dark crime thriller. It's sort of along the lines of Silence of the Lambs meets The Departed. And
I love that movie, The Departed.
The tagline for it is sort of the bizarre murder of a mob foot soldier sparks an escalating war between Boston's Irish and Italian mafia. But one detective's stubborn determination uncovers evidence of a serial killer who's obsessed with the art of human suffering.
Wow.
So the excerpt opens on the first chapter, which is kind of where you're introduced to the serial killer. So I'll do my best not to read this in a monotone, which is a challenge for me.
I'm sure you'll do very well.
The artist stood in the center of the gallery and basked in the glow of his own genius. He was a pioneer, a savant, a visionary who dared to be different. They would write books about him one day, referring to him not as an artist but as the artist. And there would be movies, too. He'd be played by someone dark and brooding and handsome, someone like a young Christian Bale. The process of creating an entirely new art form was nothing short of euphoric. His art quite literally spoke to him, and he liked hearing their screams in the dark. From that first shriek of horror to the silence elicited by the mocking echo of their own voices, it was a hauntingly beautiful metamorphosis, terror blossoming into acceptance. The artist gazed at the camera monitoring the converted survival bunker. Although shadows draped the cavernous room, a handful of picture lights produced a sufficient glow to capture the exhibits in dramatic detail on film. "The newbies always scream the loudest," he said, addressing the camera. "This sound meter registers every scream uttered in the gallery. Incidentally, Mrs. C is the reigning champion at 103 decibels. She may not possess many redeeming qualities, or any really, but my goodness, can that woman scream? Isn't that right, Mrs. C?" He pointed the sound meter toward her and cocked his head. "Are you still with us, Mrs. C, or do I need to remind you of your manners?" A disembodied voice, barely more than a whisper, croaked the appropriate reply. "Good. I'm not sure you'd survive another session of behavioral therapy, and I'm looking forward to spending more quality time together." He turned back to the camera. "It seems that Mrs. C has lost her usual fire. Interesting." He whirled toward her and yelled, "Starting to taste that humble pie now, aren't you, Mrs. C?" He smoothed out his dark hair and heaved a sigh. "Today we unveiled the latest exhibit, featuring our very own Barry Finkelton, curator of the prestigious Finkelton Gallery of Art. He's been in a bit of a coma these last few days, but let's see if we can wake him." The artist stalked where he'd mounted Finkelton to the wall. A burlap sack muffled the sound of his moaning. The artist climbed a step ladder and removed the sack with the flair of a magician, letting it glide gracefully to the floor. Finkelton's head lolled to the side, his eyes rolling back to expose the veiny whites. The artist slapped his pudgy face. "Come on, sleepyhead. Wakey, wakey." Finkelton's eyes snapped open, bright blue and brimming with terror. The artist flipped a pair of glasses onto the bridge of Finkelton's nose. "Remember me?" Finkelton shook his head, the picture light illuminating golden beads of sweat glistening on his brow. "You called me a talentless loser. You told me to crawl back into whatever dark corner I hailed from and never set foot in your gallery again. Shackleton's lips, still cracked and swollen from a recent blunt force trauma, quivered. Sound familiar? But Finkelton didn't answer. The artist clucked his tongue. What are my manners? I seem to be blocking your view. He stepped off the ladder and gestured beyond Mrs. C to his other exhibits. Finkelton blubbered. What have you done to them? The artist grinned. Do you like it? It's a revolutionary new style. I call it the art of dying. Finkelton made a guttural sound and spewed vomit onto the floor. The artist laughed. I'll take that as a compliment, but you haven't seen the best part. He presented Finkelton with a handheld mirror. Behold your metamorphosis. Finkelton screamed until he hyperventilated, and the artist brought him to attention with a sharp slap to the cheek. That's better. I honestly wasn't sure where I was headed with this project until after I amputated your arms and legs. But that's when I saw all that black hair on your belly, together with your vile personality, and my inner muse blurted out, by God, he's a tarantula, and voila. The artist stepped back to admire the prosthetic appendages he'd implanted into Finkelton's torso, 8 gnarled limbs bristling with coarse black hair. Did you notice that egg sac attached to your rear, symbolizing the artist you've discovered over the years, the careers you helped birth? It's genius, right? I'd appreciate your honest opinion, Mr. Finkelton. Do you recognize my talent now? The artist winced as Finkelton screamed for help. My goodness, 119 decibels. I believe that's a new record. He slipped the sound meter into the back pocket of his jeans and chuckled. I'm afraid I might need to cut those vocal cords sooner than I thought. Now be a chum, Mr. Finkelton, and tell me, have you seen where I put my scalpel?
Wow.
Excellent. I like that.
That was great.
I like that.
Thank you.
I mean, I was just thinking, and obviously, yeah, it seems it's a theme that has been explored before, in so much as that, you know, serial killers seem to see themselves as artists, or they see what they do as work. I mean, why do you think that is? I mean, is that just part of their psychosis, or something greater going on there?
I think so. I mean, I think there's obviously, you know, if you sort of read some of the literature about, you know, I forget what it is, but there's maybe 3 or 5 kind of types of, you know, psychopaths, and there's sort of like the ones with delusion of grandeur, and, you know, I can't recall all the exact categories, but yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely, you know, this person has a delusions of grandeur, and, you know, also harbors some, you know, real resentment towards people who wronged him earlier in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he's kind of carrying out some of his revenge and, you know, working that into what he thinks is, you know, what he thinks is as four-dimensional art, right? So it's sort of the human suffering over time is the fourth dimension. So yeah, he's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, have you based him on any real life serial killers?
I haven't, although, you know, I'm sure some of the internalizations and you know, the motives are probably the same.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a weird question, but obviously, you know, in our circles, it's quite a valid question, actually. I mean, do you have a favorite serial killer?
I mean, I think in terms of, you know, in intriguing, I think, you know, obviously, I think Jeffrey Dahmer was just, you know, kind of crazy and kind of what he did and just the depravity of that. And, you know, and of course, Ted Bundy, which is, you know, his personality and, you know, you know, kind of being a complete sociopath. And so I find that interesting. And, so those are, you know, I'm sure there's some others I'm forgetting. But, yeah, I mean, it's weird because it's the most deplorable people, but there's just something about it that's also fascinating in a way.
Well, I remember, yeah. I mean, obviously, Bundy, I mean, John Wayne Gacy, I mean, even Dahmer. I mean, Dahmer was, he was one of these people that people thought, yeah, you know, people who did know him weren't that surprised.
Right.
But some of them, say Bundy specifically, was the nicest guy. He worked on a suicide hotline. He was one of the Gacy was a clown for kiddies parties. You know, but I think a common thread with a lot, like you say, that type of sociopath is they're so charismatic. I remember reading the biography of Fred West, a British serial killer. His wife, he killed himself before he was brought to trial. His wife is still doing life over in England. And they said there's something about his, even the cops that were interviewing him, he just had that speech pattern that just drew you in. And he could have just said anything, and you believed him. Almost like neuro-linguistic programming, just the way he spoke. And a lot of them do have this pattern to them that just draws you in, and it goes hand in hand with the sociopathic tendencies, unfortunately. But Bundy just used to charm things. I mean, it's unbelievable. And he got away with it for so long.
Speaking of serial killers, I wouldn't say this is my favorite, but which is just a weird sentence. My favorite serial killer, but Eileen Wuornos. I was really fascinated by the whole Eileen Wuornos thing. I remember, watching Monster and then looking up the documentaries that I had found on her, and that was pretty fascinating. I thought, woman power,
girl power, yay! Women can be killers too.
Serial killers if we want. Yeah. We can do anything you can do.
There was a guy back in England called was actually a doctor, Dr. Harold Shipman, who, as far as they minimum, he killed 250 people. And because he was a GP, and he looked after a lot of elderly people, and he would just slip them a bit of extra morphine, a bit of extra painkiller, a bit of extra this, just to finish them off. And they reckon it could have been higher. It could have been 350, 400 people. And the funny thing is, well, what got me at the time is that they described him as Britain's worst serial killer. I thought, hang on a minute, 250 to 300 people, that's got to make him one of the best, really, to be honest.
The worst
serial killer would be one who didn't kill anyone, just maybe annoyed them a little bit. But,
oh, my gosh. that could be like a game show, a virtual reality game show, like rating serial killers.
Well, there was a big hoo-ha again. I think it was in England where they actually brought out trading cards, serial killer trading cards. Like they do for baseball players and whatnot. And it's like number of kills and how long they were at it and all that. And it's like not really wholesome for the children, I'm afraid.
Well, there is that.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot different than the garbage kale kids when I was a kid.
Right.
Those trading
cards.
Mm-hmm.
So, Derek, when you're not writing, who do you like to read?
I'd say, for reading, I like Stephen King is probably my most go-to, read almost all of his stuff. But I like, Peter Straub, Neil Gaiman, Cormac McCarthy, and then, Thomas Harris, Michael Connelly, Dennis Lehane, Jeff Strand. I read recently.
Jeff Strand, I love that you said that. I'm such a nerd. I really am. Well, I don't know about if nerd is the right thing, but I'm such a fangirl of Jeff Strand. And anytime somebody mentions him, I get really excited. I've read almost everything he's written, probably, and just absolutely love it. I do. And I've had him on the show, I think, two or three times now. And I think James gets tired of hearing me, fangirl over him. But, writing.
Not at all. No.
You're doing your demon voice. Your robot voice, James. But, if Jeff Strand would start writing crappy books, and I would stop talking about him. So it's totally his fault that I fangirl over him as much as I do. you mentioned Stephen King, though. What's your favorite Stephen King book?
You know, that's so hard. I think, you know, probably The Stand, just because of the sweeping nature of it. And I think, you know, I remember that one being, you know, being really disappointed when that ended. You know, like, what am I going to do now? I just, you know, spend all the time reading this. But, yeah, I mean, The Stand, The Shining. I think The Talisman I first read when I was about 14, and I think that was the book that really got me into reading and wanting to be a writer. So yeah, that one's kind of got a special place for me. But, you know, Sam's Lot, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, he's put out so many good ones. And I think I wanted in the, I don't know what category this is, but my favorite of his is The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon. I mean, I think it was kind of underrated, but it was great. I loved that book. And, like, I felt it. I mean, I was in the woods with that little girl. I was. To me,
yeah,
that was a terrific
was a
book,
one.
And I read it a few times. It was great. And we're just about out of time for our show, but can you tell us where we can find you online?
Sure. You know, my Amazon author page, search for Cavignano. It's as easy to spell as it is to say out loud. you can also find me at my webpage, which is DerekCavignano.com, which is a little bit more challenging than the Amazon webpage. So you can start with Amazon.
Awesome.
And, you know, it's available, you know, online in bookstores, you know, major retailers, et cetera.
I will get your links put up on our Facebook page, so if anybody wants to stalk you, they can go there and do it. And you have to promise to come back and see us.
Oh, definitely, I will. I appreciate
you
guys having me on. This has been great.
Thank you, Derek. I can't wait to have you back. And you have to read to we want an excerpt of The Colony of the Lost next time. I want to know more about that.
Okay, sounds
that's
good.
That's what I put in a request. So
okay,
thank you very much.
Okay, thanks so much. Good night.
Good night. Oh, am I going to do it? Okay, so James, he did that whole robot voice thingy. So this is the time of show when James will tell me to say good night, Xtina. So good night, Xtina.
Chez toi.